listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
It is Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell. RJ is out alongside Brad Powers and a very happy Steve Fezzik. We will explain why Steve Fezzik is so giddy coming up here in just a few moments from now as we take you all the way up until 7 p.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio. You can always check out this show on the iHeartRadio app. And we do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free service you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. And guys, we start with Monday Night Football here on Straight Outta Vegas. It was a record-setting performance for Drew Brees and company. If you couldn't tell by the broadcast and how much they were drooling all over themselves to talk about Drew Brees and all of his glory and his greatness. And it was the Saints, Steve Fezzik, with a 34-7 wipeout of the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and it was all about the Saints being sky high for this game. So often, Jonas, you'll see a 9-point favorite not bring in their full effort in a game. But I think a confluence of events, and frankly, I missed this, went ahead and contributed to the Saints giving a maximum effort. First and foremost, Brees going for the all-time touchdown record. You could see not only was he ready to go, his entire team was looking to get him that record, along with the backing of the crowd. And further, the fact that the Saints were coming off that loss to the 49ers, and you question, oh, are they going to be down after that game of the year type of loss? Well, the fact that the 49ers lost on Sunday, and so now the Saints had a clear path to get home field over the 49ers, I think really excited them as well. The dome was rocking.
And I know we're going to do something. This is going to sound a little strange. If you've heard any of the coverage of the New Orleans Saints over the last 16 to 24 hours, whatever, this is going to sound a little strange. We're actually going to talk about the Saints and not mention Drew Brees for a couple of minutes. Because I don't know if anybody knew this or not, but there is somebody else on that roster outside of Drew Brees as they continue to play up that tired act that they gave it all post-game, all pre-game, all during the game. But to your point, Fez, I actually thought the side of the football that was going to respond the most was the defense, because they were completely dominated and exposed against San Fran the week before. What was the highlight everybody was showing all week? George Kittle running down the sidelines. Nobody could tackle him. He looked like a vintage Mark Bavaro on Monday Night Football back from the 80s or 90s or whenever. And so because of that, I thought, Brad, the Saints defense was going to be as motivated as anybody, not the record, not anything else, to show everybody what you watched a week ago in a shootout and us losing had nothing to do with what we are as a team and we're going to respond on Monday Night Football.
I agree with you, Jonas. It makes a lot of sense. Where was that handicap on yesterday's show coming from, the Jonas Knox, who's still sitting on a 2-3 record? Where was this, you know, Indianapolis team total under pick from you? Because
all right,
the Saints are going to be so motivated.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like, 2-3 on the air, but technically I'm 3-3 if you include off-air conversations. Because on Friday, you guys asked me if I had a best bet, and I told you Alex Volkanovski of the UFC. I mentioned it before the show. I said, like him against Max Holloway to win the title. He was an underdog, and he won the title on Saturday night. So 2-3 with an asterisk, 3-3 if you include off-air conversations. So I'm a 500 club.
So substitute teacher is in play here. RJ is out. And Jonas, not only are you talking UFC, but you're past posting a UFC winner on the audience.
Hey, listen, I am the Jason Garrett of Straight Out of Vegas. If I hover anywhere around for a decade, that's
you're
it.
Eli Manning.
Yeah,
are you gonna sit on that now?
Yeah, I'm Eli Manning. That's what. Except I don't like try and fraud people out of memorabilia stuff. But never mind that. That's a whole conversation for another time. But
you know, I I do like your take in terms of the defense, and it was almost like George Kittle was running over guys like they were high school players. They're grabbing at his face mask, still can't get him down.
Yeah, they were embarrassed.
Exactly. So now they hold the Colts to just over 200 yards. A lot of that yardage on the meaningless final drive, and the Saints D really stepped it up, and Indy did not have a prayer in this game, could not move the ball at all the entire game.
Now, so we got to mention this, because while everybody likes to make a big production out of bad beats, and we've all been there. I mean, I've had bad beats to where I swore off game. I remember being a busboy at TGI Fridays and having money on a game and realizing after Tracy McGrady shot a three at the buzzer and got fouled and went to the free throw line and hit all three free throws, and it forced overtime, and I lost my under bet. I realized I was working that entire night at TGI Fridays completely for free. True story, miserable existence, terrible time of my life. So everybody talks about bad beats, and we've all been there. But not everybody actually gets to pat themselves on their back after recovering from a bad beat less than 24 hours ago to turn around and hit a good beat on Monday Night Football, and Steve Fezzik, you are the recipient of a good beat from Monday Night Football. Please explain.
Yeah, and the gambling gods owed me this one. As you mentioned, Jonas, on Sunday, I had the Redskins. That's going to leave a scar and not a sexy one on me, losing that game. But we bounced back. I have Drew Brees under 310 pass yards. My handicap was that based upon so many yards he got against the 49ers that he had an inflated number. It was an inflated number, but the problem with my handicap was that he was going for that record, and he kept throwing. I'm basically drawing dead. Brees is at 309, Jonas. I'm under 310. I have 1 yard to play with. It's the fourth quarter. He's still in the game. And Brees completes a pass. And his first 28 pass completions all went for positive yardage because there was no one defending, seemingly. And somehow, the Colts defense stepped it up and got a minus 2 yard reception, lowering Brees to 307. That was his last pass completion of the night as Teddy Bridgewater took over. I'll take it, Jonas.
Oh, my God. Well, there's a couple of things here. The fact that the over under was at 310 and it came that close just goes to show you how much effort and work is put into coming up with these lines. Like, everyone thinks they can make lines, but not everybody can make accurate lines. So apparently, they know what they're doing in Vegas. Here's the other part. You mentioned that you were owed this, all right? That they owed. I know. Like, they owed it to you after what happened in that Redskins game. Like, you have such a reputation as being such a successful guy. Two years in a row, the Super Contest, correct, Fez? You won that 2 years in a row?
Only guy to do it that's walking on the earth or, you know, below ground.
See, like, dead or alive, there's one person who can claim that they are the two-time Super Contest winner. And not only did he win it twice, he won it twice in a row. But just to show off. But a Drew Brees over-under yardage bet? You feel like you were owed that by the gods in Vegas?
You know, it reminds me, I remember Chris Moneymaker busted out of a poker tournament like a couple years after he won the main event, and everyone talked about how lucky Moneymaker was to win that main event. And 2 years later, he was talking about, God, I just can't catch a break after he busted in a meaningless tournament.
Yeah, but you know what? After that Redskins game, I don't blame you. That was awful. That's a miserable existence. I wonder how many people who had the Redskins plus 7 in Vegas tried hard drugs for the first time after losing that game on Sunday. That's what I wonder. I want to know what the drug business was like on the streets of Vegas for guys that had Redskins plus 7, because I would have disappeared from the earth. I would have never shown my face to any of my friends, nobody. But every bad story is a good ending, and the good ending is Steve Fezzik, who gets a good beat on Monday Night Football. That's awesome, Fez. How often does that happen?
A good beat, not only a good beat, but a good beat for everybody out there listening straight out of Vegas. Your prop bet.
Exactly. I feel a lot better than Sunday night when I ate half a box of peanut brittle after the Redskins blew it.
Wait, that's your go-to? When you get depressed? peanut brittle is your go-to when you get depressed?
That's life in the fast lane.
Hey, that's all right. Listen, there could be, there's worse habits out there. Just, close your eyes, spin around 3 times, and look at who's ever standing in front of Excalibur handing out pamphlets. And that guy's having a rough day, Steve. All right, so as we transition from the Monday Night Football game straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Brad Power, Steve Fezzik. Brad, as it stands right now, there are a couple of favorites in the NFC to win the NFC in Vegas. You've got Seattle, and you've also got the New Orleans Saints. But what is that really telling us about the conference as a whole and home field to go along with it?
So right now, if you just look at the current NFC playoff picture standings, Seattle, if the season ended today, Seattle would be the number one seed. Number two seed would be Green Bay. So both Seattle and Green Bay would have a bye, and Seattle would have home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. Vegas, huge, huge disagreement on both Seattle and Green Bay. Even though right now, in the season end of day, Seattle and Green Bay, the top two seeds, the favorite right now to win the NFC in Vegas is not Seattle, not Green Bay, not San Francisco. It is the New Orleans Saints, who right now are the three seeds. So the Saints don't even get a bye right now, and yet they're the favorite to win the NFC. How do you respond to that, Fez?
Well, it's all about my power ratings, and I think that Vegas...
Oh, it's all about your power ratings. So yeah, it's all about... Agrees with your
damn right it is, Fez. Damn right it is.
It's about power ratings, and my power ratings, I think, mimic a lot of Vegas's power ratings, where San Francisco and New Orleans are clearly the top two teams in the NFC. Surprisingly, number three and four, Minnesota and Dallas. I have Seattle, my number five team in the NFC, and Green Bay Packers, number seven. So by power ratings, I wouldn't even have Green Bay in the playoffs, much less the number one seed.
So, yeah, so you're talking about the other teams in contention. So the Saints right now are the favorite to win the NFC. If you bet $100, you win right around $200 on the Saints. Second shortest odds would be the San Francisco 49ers, a team that'll be in the wild card round and play a road game right now in the season end of the day. The five seed San Francisco 49ers right around plus 240. You bet $100, you win 240 there. And then you get to the top two seeds if the season ended today. Seattle 4-1, Green Bay 7-1. Clearly, Vegas thinks that both the Saints and the 49ers clearly superior to the Seahawks and the Packers.
Yeah, and it's all about the both Seattle and Green Bay. If you look at their underlying statistics, and as RJ said yesterday, hey, those stats don't lie. They both have the stats of a team of teams that are just slightly above 500. And I'll make a bold prediction. If Seattle or Green Bay winds up having home field in the playoffs and they play San Francisco or New Orleans, I think they'll be the underdog, despite being home, and Brad Powers, despite having massive home field advantages, both Seattle and Green Bay.
So here's the thing about this, Jonas, that no one's talking about. Right. Not only is Vegas saying that the Saints and the 49ers are vastly superior, but why is home field so important here in the NFC? If you look at and stack rank, hey, who has the five best home field advantages in the entire NFL? Four of those top five teams are in the NFC, and all four of those teams are right among the mix as far as the playoffs this year. And we're talking about the Saints, we're talking about the Seahawks, the Packers, and also the Minnesota Vikings in this instance, Fez.
Yeah, so five teams valued as having greater than a three-point home field advantage. They're the four teams you listed, all in the NFC in contention. And on the AFC side, the Baltimore Ravens. So home field, very important in these playoffs.
So think about this, Jonas. We're talking with all these home fields being 3.5, 4. If you're going home away, we're talking about a 7.5 to 8 point difference. So if let's say the Saints are a pick 'em, we're just going to throw out a line right now. What would you have the Saints right now if they were playing the number one seed Seahawks on a neutral field?
Pick
'em. Okay, so it's pick 'em. So we're talking if the game is in Seattle, Seattle be right around what, a 3.5 point favorite? 3.5, 4? It's pick 'em if it's in Seattle?
Yes.
Okay, so pick 'em in Seattle for the New Orleans Saints. But if it was in the Superdome, we're talking about the Saints being more than a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, -7, -7.5.
So the chances of the Saints winning, their chances would be 50-50 on the road at Seattle. But if the game was in the Superdome, what we're talking 75-80% chance?
75%, yes.
That's wow. The difference, and that's why home field's so important.
And so I misspoke. It was New Orleans and San Francisco, not Seattle. I said Seattle, so I want to correct myself there. And so let me ask you this. So somebody's going to have to go on the road, obviously. Who do you trust out of that entire NFC picture? We know the Vikings issues. The Vikings at home are awesome. When they get on the road, they've struggled, which is why a lot of people liked the Chargers in what turned out to be a Vikings home game. If anybody's seen the pictures or videos there from the soccer stadium the Chargers play football in. But we know the Vikings have had issues on the road. So who do you give the best chance in the NFC to make a run that's going to have to win a road game to try and come out of the conference?
49ers, clearly, because let's face it, we just saw the 49ers play road games against two of the very best teams in the NFL. They beat the Saints, and they played Baltimore virtually even. That game was tied with 5 minutes left, and the 49ers failed on a 4th-and-1 in Baltimore territory. If you can win in Baltimore, you can beat anyone. San Francisco clearly has the best shot on the road.
And I would also say Seattle. Seattle's been better on the road than they have been at home this year. For whatever reason, like, they've looked better on the road, and even in starting in earlier time slots, whatever, I would still give Seattle an opportunity. But I think we can all agree that there's something with Green Bay that we just don't buy into at this point.
Jonas, my thing, Ken Thompson here, my thing is that Minnesota, I know you talked about them, and they're great at home, love the Skol chant, but we saw them go into two really tough venues and hang right in there. At Seattle, had a good chance to win that game, and at Kansas City, which the most unbelievable thing that I remember seeing this year was at Arrowhead Stadium with a good Kansas City Chiefs team, seeing the Skol chant with Vikings fans. There had to be 15,000 Vikings fans there. Kind of blew me away there. But this is a good team that has won 4 of 6 on the road. Those two losses there. So, yeah, they may have lost those games, but they're battle-tested, and they're still a scary team on the road. And Madison's a better running back than people think.
Yeah. No, and I would agree. And I've been saying, even before Dalvin Cook got injured, we were having the conversation. I think Steve and I on the air even talked about this. You know, is Dalvin Cook entering into that territory to where he's worth a point? And there's only a few players in the league at this point that are worth a point. So, Fez, if Dalvin Cook is compromised heading into the postseason, what does that do to Minnesota?
Yeah, it is worth a point, and he is so critical, not just because he's a really good running back, obviously, but he's a really good receiver as well. And those tandem guys, you think about Kamara for the Saints, they're so critical to an offense's success, especially when Kirk Cousins has to go to the road.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brad Power, Steve Fezzik, Ken Thompson in for RJ Bell here on FSR. You can check out this show on the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up next, there is a team in the NFL whose future looks bleak. Find out who we're talking about next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up here in just a couple of moments here on FSR, we will talk about one team's future, immediate future, that looks a little bleak. So we'll get to that here momentarily on FSR. RJ Bell is out, so don't worry, we've got you covered as far as the weather goes. We just go straight to the Las Vegas Strip. He is the, what do we call it, substitute? Do we want to go substitute weatherman or meteorologist? Whatever.
Yeah, substitute correspondent, weather correspondent, yeah, live from atop of the Luxor.
Yeah, on top of the Luxor. How he does it, nobody knows. He just does it. He's got great balance. It's what he does. I don't know if it's, you know, all the work on the farm in Ohio growing up, but regardless, not to ball wash the guy completely, but Bradley Powers is here to give you an update on the weather from the Strip.
Well, thank you, Jonas. Each and every day, we love bringing the fun of Vegas to you guys out there. And right now, temperature on the strip, 50 degrees. Neon is pulsing. Back to you, Jonas.
Thank you, Bradley. And so let's get right into it. A team who, and it's crazy because if you go back about a month ago or a little over a month ago, there was a lot of people out there that said, man, I was completely wrong about the Oakland Raiders. Unbelievable what the Raiders have done. They've turned it around. It's working with John Gruden. It's working with Derek Carr. He looks like he's on a bargain of a contract. And then you just flip the calendar over and go completely the opposite, because now there are people doubting the direction of the Raiders. You've got people booing the Raiders as they leave in their final game at the O.co, which is certifiably a toilet without a lever, and they needed to leave anyways. So we bring in the heavy hitters here. Ken Thompson, you hear him here, Tuesdays with Thompson on Fox Sports Radio. Ken, you've been doing stuff with the Raiders, pre and post stuff with the Raiders for quite a while, correct?
Yeah, I actually did a local postgame show and pregame show here last year in Vegas. And, you know, the Raiders have been here with their footprint, so to speak, in the Vegas Valley for a couple years now. Even though they weren't going to play their first game until August of 2020, they've done a lot of stuff in the community. So they're kind of, you know, trying to get around the community and let people know, hey, this is going to be a good move for Vegas.
And I've looked at this season for the Raiders as kind of a free roll, kind of a, hey, you know what? They know where they're going next year. So, you know, if you win 6 games, if you win 7 games, 5, whatever, it's all about next year and getting to Vegas. But I think people got their hopes up a little high based on the early start. And now that they've sort of come back down to reality, people are sort of overly negative on the Raiders when the fact of the matter is maybe this is just what they were going to be all season long.
Yeah, you know, it's been a tale of like three different seasons. They got off to a slow start. They got just pummeled in Minnesota after losing to Kansas City at home, after winning the opening Monday night against Denver. And then it looked bleak because they weren't going to go back home until game 8 against Detroit, and that would be in November. Lo and behold, they started to get it together. They stole that game against Indianapolis, and then they went to London and took care of business against the Bears. Came back, and next thing you know, they went home and were on a 3-game winning streak. But then the lowest point of the season, I think, was when they went to Jersey and got pummeled by the Jets. Yes, MetLife is in Jersey, folks. I'm from there. And, you know, as you understand, going forward, they needed to just basically go 500 to get it down to where they're going to finish 2 games over 500. They couldn't do it. They're on a 4-game losing streak right now. And Sunday was the worst of the worst, Jonas. I mean, I'm right there, first row, black hole over by the entrance, dressed in a Grinch outfit because I've had that nickname forever. So if you go and you see all the sea of silver and black, you will see one guy in a Grinch costume. And I was hanging out, having a great time. Got to hang out with the Violator, the guy with the spikes on his shoulders, and the Gorilla. I've known those guys for years. Great guys, do a lot of charity stuff. And everybody's fired up. Lo and behold, the way that game ended was one of the worst things that could have happened for that city, because win or lose this season, that was the game that everybody wanted. And of course, the NFL comes out, sends a nice little apology. We're sorry, we screwed up on Derek Carr's first down run. You can't replay that. But that time that was left on the clock for Jacksonville after the 2 missed field goals, not one by Carlson, but 2, they would not have near that amount of time had the Carr thing not been called, and then the delay of game, had they called him down inbounds where he slid, wasn't even close. And I don't know, in this day of technology, Jonas, we see it in college football, NFL, over and over again, where things go to the replay and they still screw it up.
So it was as negative there as they portrayed it to be on television.
It was. There were some really classy fans there that have been there in the black hole for years and years and years that said, you know what, lost season, but let's give these guys a hand. And some were cheering when Derek Carr came over to the black hole, but then there were those diehards. And it came from last week when they played Tennessee, and on a 4th down, down the stretch of that game, even though the game was pretty much over, a 4th down and goal where Carr throws the ball 10 yards out of bounds, a lot of people saying, what the heck is that? At least just throw it up for grabs. Doesn't matter if it's intercepted. So they kind of felt like, you know, Derek Carr is regressing big time, and they just don't know about this guy anymore being that guy going forward.
Yeah, no, and that's been, look, I've seen some of the stuff on social media, and there are Carr backers out there who are going to back him to the end. He does have, as far as, you know, the current construct of the NFL, his contract is a really great value at this point in time, but it does make you wonder what the future does hold there. Now, I know just from a Vegas standpoint, there was a bet on the win total for the Raiders this season. Now, Brad Powers, what was that bet exactly? Because they're sitting at 6 wins right now on the year, and I'm trying to fit that number sounds familiar. It's almost like that was the number going into the season, but where does that stand with you and Fezzik?
Believe it or not, season win total for Oakland entering the season was 6 wins. And Fez, when the Raiders were sitting there, what, at 6-4, we had some money that was exchanged between you and me, because I bet Jonas under 6 wins. And when it was 6-4 in the Raiders, didn't I give you some money, Fez?
You did. And this was frankly a Joes versus Pros season win, where all the Joes were betting on the Raiders to win the division, to go over the 6 wins. And the Pros were looking at that extended road trip for the Raiders, the distractions of coming to Vegas the next year, and that the Raiders just weren't very good. And the Pros bet under 6. So Brad Powers, you had me place that bet for you.
Yep.
Under 6 wins. And then when Oakland started 6-4, you said, well, that we can grade that right now.
Yes.
That's a loser. And you reminded me, Fez, we got 2 games left. And if Oakland loses both and they're going to be underdogs in both, I want my money back.
And that's the big thing here. Moving forward with the Raiders, very negative as far as the next couple of games. When you lose that game in the fashion that they did so, in that all-everything game last week, what's the path moving forward? Playoff picture. Raiders are now out of it. Now we got kind of 1 foot out the door. We're going to be in Vegas next year anyway. What's these next 2 games other than pride and the fact that both games are on the road and both games will be an underdog? I don't like the Raiders' chances of winning either of those games, Fez. That's the case. I want you need to be bringing that money back into the play here. Come on.
I mean, for God's sakes, it's been like a Fez celebration day here. He got a good beat on Monday Night Football. At least fork over the money, for God's sakes. Now, I will ask this. Ken Thompson, you know the Raiders better than anybody here on the show. So they're at the Chargers. They're at the Broncos. They are underdogs in both those games, but neither one of those teams are going to the playoffs either. Who do you like in those games? Do you think the Raiders have a shot, and what's their best chance on the road between the Chargers and the Broncos to try and get a win and get that seventh win of the season?
Well, let's be real. You guys know you're right there at the epicenter, man. The Chargers don't have a home field advantage. You've seen it in every one of their games. And when I went to a preseason game last year, Raiders and Rams at the Coliseum, 80% Raider fans there. Of course, Ram fan just selling his ticket going, I don't want any part of that Raider crowd in L.A. Trust me, Raider fan will be 75% there at the Chargers. So that's the game, if you have the win total over, that you've got to get, because you're probably not getting the one in Denver, especially if it comes off a loss against the Chargers. Then you could just see them just say, you know what, let's just mail in this last one. Vegas right around the corner. Set those golf dates.
And by the way, this whole stuff about Mark Davis being insensitive after the game because he wasn't caring enough about the people in Oakland. You know what? He cared about the people in Oakland a lot. He tried. They wanted to get something done there. They didn't get it done, so he's got to, like, what, you know, do fake tears on TV to try and make every... Sorry, we tried to get something done. It didn't happen. Vegas anteed up. They got a stadium done. That's all they've been working towards, and he's leaving. I don't think he did anything wrong. I'm not going to be critical of the guy. They tried to make it work in Oakland. It didn't happen. Screw it. We're on our way to Vegas and be happy about it.
Here's the thing, and I had that Grinch costume on, so I'm hearing a lot of people diss Las Vegas, and I came over to him, I said, look, if it's not Las Vegas, it's San Antonio, it's somewhere else, because look, you had two chances to get this stadium done.
100%.
You lose them to L.A., now when they go back there, the first thing you should have done is had some type of committee, let's either renovate the heck out of this Coliseum and make it modern age, or let's get a new stadium together. You wait, you call Vegas's bluff, even after Mark Davis was here saying, there's no way a little town like Las Vegas is going to be able, sure, it's big on the, but it's really not a big town. It's a little over 2 million for them to come up with the money, but then people forgot. Over 47 million visitors a year, little room tax, and we're paying for whatever we want out here. And this crowd, trust me, they will support. But there couldn't be a better place, Jonas, for the Raiders to relocate than Vegas, because L.A., Oakland, only an hour or 45-minute flight. You've got a four-hour drive from L.A., San Diego's, tons of Raider fans. And everywhere else, Joe Raider fan in Bismarck, North Dakota, all of a sudden, he's surrounding a little four-day trip to Vegas with a Raider game. It's going to be big time here. Couldn't be a better place. I feel for Oakland. I feel for any city that loses their team, especially a blue-collar city like the Oakland Raiders. But you know what? There are going to be a ton of those fans that are going to make it here. And if it's truly Raider Nation, if you truly say you're a Raider fan, Raider Nation is exactly what it is. Raider Nation, wherever that silver and black goes, you will be there. And folks in L.A., don't call them the Oakland Raiders. Oakland fans are not going to call them the Las Vegas Raiders. It's the Raiders, baby. That's all it is.
I agree. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Ken Thompson, Jonas Knox, Brad Power, Steve Fezzik here in for RJ Bell. All right, coming up next here on Straight Out of Vegas, there was a little bit of a disagreement involving a game this past weekend in the NFL. We've got to get to it because it was very telling. There's a star of the show so far today, but this did not go well for this star of the show. So we will get to that here coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. All right, so let's get to this. The Buccaneers and the Lions. Back in the day when there was a slate of games in the NFL, for whatever reason, there was a glitch in the early part of the NFL Sunday ticket. There would always be one game that was non-HD. And I felt like watching Tampa Bay-Detroit that would have been the game about 10 years ago that would have been non-HD. But nonetheless, there was a lot of points scored. And if you are a Jameis Winston fantasy owner, you were very pleased with what happened. But you guys had a conversation on the podcast. And on your NFL podcast, RJ and Fez disagreed at a fundamental level about how to handicap Jameis Winston and the Bucs. Here's how it sounded.
I can make a case that both teams are overvalued on offense. Let's start with Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston has a problem with his thumb. I don't know if it's broken. He has a thumb injury, so he's been limited in practice. I think that's a major deal.
Who's that?
Bruce Arians reported he has a little bitty fracture in his thumb. Little bitty itty fracture in his thumb, but he's expected to play through it.
It's the handicapping concept is if the bad news is coming from a team, but it doesn't involve a player being out. Because once he's out, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, I think he's better than what the team's letting off. It just doesn't make sense to me.
And if they're obligated to report something, then they might.
Yep.
But if they offer it up, why would Bruce Arians offer up details about how injured Winston is? That makes it seem like he's injured worse than you might think.
Well, I don't know if he makes it. He's just said
a broken hand.
He said a little bitty itty fracture, so it sounds like he's trying to minimize it.
He's minimizing it by telling you that he has a fracture. Is he obligated, or could he say questionable hand? So
he didn't have to offer that up. No,
but he did.
He did,
and that's what you're betting on. Here we go. You're gonna explain your handicap further? I just bet you.
So, RJ bet the over on you in that game, Fez. And basically, RJ's premise was you can't always believe what the coaches tell you. So what do we see? Tampa Bay, how many points did they score? 38, I think.
They did. And
Jameis Winston hits how many passing yards?
He threw for a little bitty itty 450-plus yards despite not having his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. Looks like his thumb was A-OK.
Any other lessons that you want to share with the nation on this?
Just that I can't imagine how the Lions are giving Matt Patricia an extension, a vote of confidence after that game.
Well, and you can't always believe what the coaches are saying. If they're willingly offering up injury news, there might be a reason for that, Fez. They're deceiving you. You should like that kind of stuff, right?
And I got fooled, and I'm not happy.
And they totally played it up, too, because there was reports that Jameis Winston has only been able to throw a tennis ball all week. He's only been able, like, all throughout the week. It was the same thing when Andrew Luck had his off-season shoulder surgery. There were these reports that came out that Andrew Luck hasn't thrown a football in, like, X amount of days. It's been 300-and-something days. And I remember thinking to myself, and having this conversation with your guy, Brad Powers, Brady Quinn, and we're having this conversation with him, like, I don't know, man, doesn't sound good. Quarterback hasn't thrown a football. And he said, hold on a second. You actually believe that at no point behind closed doors they've tried to test out his arm, and it stopped me dead in my tracks, and I said, you know what, you're right. I'm an idiot. I totally fell for the bluff, and I think sometimes we fall for what the coaches are telling us, thinking that it's all true, and I kind of fell for it a little bit also, and then I started thinking back, like, wait a second. After he suffered the injury, he was still throwing the ball around all over the place in the game before.
Yeah, they rallied from a two-touchdown deficit after the injury.
Like, my biggest concern would have been the fact that Mike Evans was out, and then early in that game, Godwin was out, and it didn't matter. He still was lighting up Detroit. But to Fez's point, the fact that Detroit's defense is so bad and Matt Patricia's a defensive specialist, yikes. And he's coming back for a third season? I mean, give him credit, but man, that's not a good. Are you down on the Lions moving forward if they keep Patricia, Fez?
Oh, big time, and you nailed it, Jonas. So Tampa Bay, all right, even if their quarterback's good, their top wide receivers, Evans and Godwin, yes, both these guys are top 10 in the league, and you get torched without a number one and a number two, that just should never happen.
Yeah, it was a bad look for the Detroit Lions. All right, Jonas Knox, Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, Ken Thompson here on Fox Sports Radio, straight out of Vegas. All right, coming up next, it is best bet time, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Tuesday night. That's next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell here on FSR. Coming up a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. Stick around. It is The Odd Couple, Rob Parker, Chris Broussard. You can always check out that show on the iHeartRadio app. All right, Steve Fezzik, you and RJ Bell had a bet last week on Straight Out of Vegas involving the lone college football game, I guess Division One college football game, if you will, Army and Navy, and it was on the point total. How'd that turn out?
So I actually cashed the ticket. I went with the under. RJ went with the over. To RJ's credit, he got the line move right. So he bet me when the total was 40 and money did come in on the over. It closed 42. RJ made the point, and it's an excellent one, that when word gets out on a play, oftentimes the market winds up adjusting so much that there's value going the other way. There had been 13 consecutive unders in the Army-Navy series, Jonas, and because of that, the total that was being dealt this year was lower than we'd seen the past 14 years by an incredible margin. There was a period of time 10 years ago, this total was being dealt 50. Now it was 40.
55.
Bottom line is 14 straight to the under still. And over the past 11 years, the average number of points scored in this series is still only 36. The option is a flawed offense that when the defense is used to seeing it, the defense stops it.
Yeah, and real quick, you see how Fez had to go with RJ not here. He had to make sure he went out on top.
You
on
got
the
to.
Show,
you got
you know,
to.
Make sure you didn't get enough love in the A segment on your prop bet.
Hey, Fez, my philosophy, if you're going to dance on somebody's grave, wear high heels. Who cares? You know what? You got to. So that's good for you, Fez. You won. I'm happy.
There you go.
Well, a rare win for me against RJ, who has gotten the better of me more often than not, especially looking at things like that Tampa Bay-Detroit total.
All right, guys. So let's get into some best bets here on Straight Outta Vegas, and we will do so after we let you know that we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. With over 5,600 locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money. With their free services, getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Best bet time from Ken Thompson.
Jonas, you know, back in my day, I used to call games for Long Beach State, UC Riverside, so I like those little conferences like the Big West, also the Big Sky. Tonight I'm looking at Eastern Washington, good solid team picked by Blue Ribbon. As everybody knows, that's the Bible as far as college basketball. Picked to win the Big Sky, have a solid home court advantage, and get a Nebraska-Omaha team that has played at Moraga, then Jonesboro, Arkansas, then Flagstaff, then Tucson, then a home game, and now they travel to Cheney. This team is worn out. Laying 7 points, Eastern Washington at home. They should definitely win by double digits. Best bet, Eastern Washington -7 to knock off Nebraska-Omaha tonight.
All right, let me ask you guys a follow-up question on this. Just from somebody who doesn't gamble that is looking for an edge in any sport that they can get it in. Most people don't start really watching college basketball until after football season's over. It's overload. There's so many other things going on. Do you guys find that you get better lines now when the market isn't as flooded as opposed to after the football season when a lot of people are just jumping in because they don't really know what's happening and they just want to gamble on anything?
There's no doubt about it, especially in those smaller conferences, because right now, sports books, what are they paying attention to? Power Five conferences, even in college basketball, those marquee games. They don't want to lose those big bet games, so you can find some hidden gems, some diamonds in the rough. As far as those small conference bets, it's a good time to get them, November and December.
Good stuff from Ken Thompson there here on Straight Outta Vegas. All right, Brad Powers, it is time for your best bet.
So let's go bowling here, and this is usually the spot reserved for my line mover of the week, and this is one where I do expect a line move. We're going to New Year's Eve, December 31st, the Arizona Bowl. You want to talk about some smaller schools? How about this one? I'm taking Wyoming -7. Wyoming -7, this line I expect to go up. Why? It's a play against Georgia State, which I feel is very overrated. Why? Because of their quarterback. His name for Georgia State, Dan Ellington. In the last three games, Dan Ellington's been playing on a torn ACL. He's been playing with a torn ACL. How has that impacted Georgia State? Well, Dan Ellington is a mobile quarterback. Really good. First nine games this season, he's averaging nearly 70 rushing yards per game. Last three games with a torn ACL, after averaging 70 yards per game rushing, -5. -5 rushing yards, and because of that, Georgia State's offense is compromised, and because of that, early line mover best bet, the Arizona Bowl, I like Wyoming, and I bet Wyoming -7.
All right, so I hope everybody out there maybe driving a kid somewhere to and from practice, depending on the time zone, maybe home from school. Moral of the story is, according to Brad Powers, and you can get Brad on Twitter, at BradPowers7, if you know somebody has a torn-up knee, bet against them and you know, serve your own purposes is what you're saying, Brad.
Yeah, there's no remorse for me. I hope after this game, he has a speedy recovery, gets surgery, and has a nice life. But in this game, I root for him to fail. Dan Ellington, the Georgia State quarterback. That's why I like Wyoming.
Something about Fez is rubbing off on you. All right, there's something about
That's
Steve Fezzik
thing.
That is rubbing off on you, because that feels like, Fez, you would do the exact same thing, correct?
Oh, I love it. I love injuries. Get value in bets. That's all that's really important. Make money.
All right. Well, that's them. Follow that strategy. He's Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, Ken Thompson. I'm Jonas Knox. All I do is pay penny slots. I play penny slots. I put in a 20, and I keep doing one per line, so that way I can keep getting Bud Light sent over from the cocktail waitress. But that's how I gamble. Always fun stuff, guys. If you missed any of the show, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.